Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Oh my goodness, it's It Could Happen Here, a podcast about things falling apart, putting them back together, and the Sisyphean task of occasionally trying to stop them from crumbling as fast as they otherwise would. I'm Robert Evans, who is not great at introducing this podcast. I'm joined with James, who is better at introducing this podcast, but I strong-harmed him out of it.
Not true.
We'll let the audience decide. So, James, today you and I are here to talk to a journalist that we both like quite a lot, Amy Westervelt. Amy is the host of a podcast called Drilled, which focuses on shady stuff done by the oil and gas industry. And particularly, we're talking about season 8 of Drilled, which is focused on what Exxon is doing in a South American country called Guyana. And it's a really fascinating story. There's a lot here, including kind of the way in which oil and gas companies move in and in a kind of predatory way create contracts with smaller countries that don't maybe have the legal resources to set themselves up as well as they otherwise would, that don't have kind of the long basis of environmental law rulings that like areas that have been, you know, used for by the oil and gas industry for longer periods of time have, and kind of the fight by activists in that country to wrest control back from Exxon, and a bunch of other stuff besides. Amy, welcome to the show. I think that's enough of an intro from me.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Amy, I'm curious kind of what got you started thinking about and focusing on and really digging into what's been happening in Guyana, because obviously this is, you know, the oil and gas industry is a topic of concern for most progressives, but people tend to focus on, you know, kind of the Permian Basin, the Gulf of Mexico, obviously the Middle East, these places that are kind of seen as traditionally more the breadbasket of the oil and gas industry.
I started looking at Guyana because I follow a lot of Exxon's shareholder briefings and reporting things like that. And I kept seeing them talking about the project in Guyana, and just like the projections kept increasing so quickly. And it got to a point where I was like, hold on a second. They are projecting that this is going to be producing more than the Permian Basin by 2025. And this is a country that shipped its first barrel of oil in 2019. That's incredible. Kind of unheard of that something would happen that fast. So, and I happened, like, just so happened to have had a friend years and years and years ago in San Francisco who helped do I don't know, like marketing for the tourism board in Guyana, and was constantly telling me about how Guyana was this amazing ecotourism destination. So I had this idea of Guyana in my head as like ecotourism central. And then I kept seeing all of these updates around drilling there. So that's kind of what initially got me interested. And then I got a press release about a lawsuit being filed there by an attorney who was trying to kind of stop the oil drilling. So, yeah.
And this attorney has a pretty interesting backstory herself, right?
She does. And that was also very interesting because she actually was in-house counsel for BP.
Yeah. Deepwater Horizon folks. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So she grew up in Guyana. Her family left when she was around 12 or 13. There was quite a bit of political unrest in Guyana, spurred like so many places by CIA. And the history of Guyana is really interesting. But anyway, so there was a lot of political unrest. Her family felt a bit unsafe. They left. They went to Zambia and then Trinidad. And then you wound up going to school in England, went to Oxford, you know, has this like very posh English accent now. And then at one point decided, she was working for BP and traveling all over and just kind of got fed up with it and wanted to move back to Guyana. So she moved back, started working for a corporate law firm there, started to get very interested in environmental laws, because at the time the country was just starting to write its first environmental laws. This was like mid-90s-ish.
Yeah. And one of the things you make a point on in the podcast that is really interesting is, you know, I grew up in Texas and I had a lot of friends from the Permian Basin. And mm-hmm. You don't think of the Gulf as like an area of strong environmental regulations. And if you've spent any time swimming right. in the Gulf of Mexico, yeah. you certainly don't feel that way. But it actually, I mean, it is. It's not to say that they are sufficient. But it's, it's not just that there's stronger regulations there, and the regulations are largely a product of how long people have been taking oil out of the ground. But it's right. also that because it's got a century, you know, or so of being utilized by the industry, there's kind of there's a level of institutional knowledge built up
yes.
about how to do it relatively, which number one speaks to how inherently dangerous it is, because the Deepwater Horizon disaster happens right in the heart of this area. But it also means right. that when you've got a company like Exxon starting work in a place like Guyana, they don't have any of that built up kind of competence or expertise in sort of dealing with these problems.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have kind of the heavy bench full of, you know, experts just hanging out looking for jobs. You don't have the disaster response expertise in case of a spill, for example. And you also don't have the regulatory oversight expertise, which has been a huge problem in Guyana. They got a grant from the World Bank at one point. This was also super controversial.
Yeah, this was really interesting to me. Yeah.
yeah. It was like, it was right before the World Bank issued its whole, you know, we're not gonna recommend fossil fuel development as much anymore kind of pronouncement. They sort of fast-tracked this grant to Guyana to create and grow like a petroleum regulatory department in its EPA, because they didn't it didn't exist before. So they started to build that out, and but you know, it's almost like they're building the regulatory apparatus as they're starting to drill. So you can imagine like how well that's going to go.
I think you said in your podcast that like they dropped this hundreds of pages like environmental risk report, and it got approved the same day that they received it, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's like stamped, like the date of receipt and the date of approval are stamped on the report, and it's the same day. So there's not a lot of oversight happening.
Hey, some people are speed readers, Amy, you know?
They got a whole team of them. They spent all that World Bank money on speed reading courses.
Yeah, really moving it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of Adderall, I'm going to guess.
Yes. Yes. They're very focused over there. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I actually talked to this guy who ran the EPA in Guyana like the first couple of years that they were producing oil. And he had formerly worked for the Department of Energy in the US and was trying to set up like real oversight. And like his recommendation was that they have an EPA staff member actually physically on the production vessel at all times. Yeah. Which like, yeah, no one was into, so that guy got fired. Yeah.
Great. So maybe talking about like the legal panacea of Texas and like the different system in Guyana would be a good way to segue into talking about this like rights-based approach that they used to, I guess, ultimately try and ensure some kind of responsibility was taken by the oil companies. Do you want to explain that for people?
In terms of like the right to a healthy environment.
Yeah, because I think it's very
interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's super interesting. So Melinda Jenke, this lawyer who used to work for BP from Guyana, moved home, starts working on these laws. She helped to write the country's first kind of Environmental Protection Act, which established its EPA. And then in 1996 and again in 2003, there were some revisions to the Constitution. So in the early 2000s, she worked on getting a right to a healthy environment integrated into the Constitution, which basically just says, you know, every citizen has the right to a livable environment for, you know, themselves and for future generations. So that actually opened up the ability for citizens to sue the government over this oil drilling project. So there's a couple of people who are doing that, and they are arguing that the government is violating their right to a healthy environment by not just permitting this offshore drilling, but doing it in this really kind of reckless way where they're sort of rubber stamping permits. They're not really providing any oversight. Exxon like brags constantly about how this project is like, you know, we've done in 5 years what usually takes 10. I asked them, I was like, oh, is there like a new technology or like a new drilling approach or something? And the answer is, you know, more or less boils down to a very quote unquote collaborative government. So,
oh dear.
You know.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's good.
Move faster.
No need to dig into that.
It's the Zuckerberg approach. You move fast to break things. Nothing.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Exactly. And the Guyanese government has this idea, I think, that, well, they've actually said this out loud a few times that net zero is commitments to net zero is sort of like their timeline, you know, where they're like, okay, well, you know, everyone wants to get to net zero by such and such date. So we need to get oil out of the ground as fast as possible and sell it.
Yeah.
So that we can meet net zero, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah. Wow. And so, and because of how really crappy the contract is for Anna, they are kind of incentivized to do that as well, because the faster they can get oil out of the ground and sold, the faster they might be able to kind of get to a place where actually getting sort of their promised share of the oil money. So they're incentivized to move fast and kind of look the way on stuff. I mean, there's the first 2 years of that project, Exxon talked publicly about the fact that a pretty key piece of equipment on the boat was broken for 2 years.
2 years. So, yeah.
That's cool.
And
again, it's like it's an offshore deep water drilling project. Mm-hmm. This is like the most risky type of oil drilling there is. There's an enormous amount of pressure at that, you know, level of depth of the ocean. It's exactly the sort of situation that the deep water spill happened in. A lot of like similar kind of approaches to maintenance and safety happening. not great.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit. One of the things that you kind of open up the series with that I found very, very intriguing, and it's something I've heard from other journalists in the same beat as you, is that when you start work on a project that focuses on Exxon, some peculiar things start to happen. Nothing we can say for certain is like tied to ExxonMobil.
That's right. Yes.
But yeah, you do notice some like weird things. I wanted to chat a little bit about that because it does scan with other things I've heard from other folks.
It's true. And I report on all of the oil companies, and none of them particularly like journalists, especially journalists. And they, will kind of do the usual thing of sending you nasty emails or refusing to have their executives talk to you and things like that. But with Exxon, like every time I'm working on an Exxon story, it's just like, if I'm traveling, all my travel plans get canceled. There's always just weird stuff that happens. Like, you start to feel like being watched and followed a lot. And it's super not just me that has had that experience. I know that everyone I know that has reported on them has said that's definitely like there's, just a kind of an intimidation thing that they like to do. I actually was surprised that that Steve Call, who wrote the book Private Empire about Exxon, said to me, and I have this in the podcast too, that he has, reported on Al Qaeda and reported on the CIA. And if he's ever like disappeared, he told everyone he knows that it's probably Exxon. So and that definitely happened on this project too. Like my hotel room got canceled. Hotel room also got broken into. And it was one of those where it's like I had cash on the nightstand. It was still there, but like my computer was open with like certain files open.
Oh, great.
Like that. And I don't keep like, sensitive files on my laptop and even in my hotel room, but it was definitely like, okay, this seems very pointed and
Yeah, it's intimidation. Normal and good.
I know. People always ask me, they're like, are you afraid of getting sued by Exxon? And I was like, well, I guess if I had assets, I would be afraid.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, not the suing that's the most concerning thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But like, I wonder, I was really interested in, I get this legal approach, which is very successful in Guyana, right? If we compare that, like if we come back to the United States, and I know there's a court case, I think it was like, it was, I'm pretty sure it's Boulder, Colorado. I might be wrong, but it was somewhere like that, where they tried to sue oil companies for causing fires, right?
And yes, there's a climate liability case there, and it's still going. Actually, it's still alive. They just got a move in their favor at the Supreme Court.
Because isn't the case in the U.S. is a bit different, right? Where we don't have this constitutional right to like a healthy environment, and I'm
that's right. Sure don't.
Let me tell you.
So, although actually guess who does have that in the U.S. the
Montana.
State of Montana.
Yes,
and so there's there's a case there actually that's invoking their state constitutional right, which is very
a lot of people don't know this about kind of the northern western part of the country,
Mountain West.
Montana is, it's not really the POW, but it's the Mountain West, which is that they had, especially kind of in like the 70s and 80s, this weird history of like Republican governors, I think into the early 90s too, like Republican state leaders who were also, because I guess our national discourse wasn't so inherently toxic, really progressive in bizarre ways. Yeah. One of like probably the best governor Oregon ever had was a Republican who's like one of his chief accomplishments was he made all of the coastline in Oregon, both like lake and river coastline and the ocean coastline public property. He like set it up so that it's regulated like highways, basically, so that no one can own private beaches. Now, there's some little janky ways kind of around aspects of that, but like as a general rule, it's a really positive thing. And it's like not what you would expect from a Republican. And I think the same thing is true of that law in Montana, where it just like you used to be able to have Republican. I mean, like Nixon created the EPA, right? It just didn't used to be the same kind of partisan that it is today.
Even like... Yeah. In the early Trump era, there were a decent number of Republican folks who like specifically opposed drilling in Bear's Ears or like demonetizing.
Yes, the Bear's Ears thing was interesting.
Yeah. Wherever they went hunting or something. Yeah.
Right, yeah, no,
100% was like,
because
I was like the outdoor industry had to stop doing trade shows in Utah because Utah was going to, the governor of Utah supported demonetizing it. And a lot of the like, quote unquote, right. hook and bullet people were like, yeah, fuck this, it's bad.
The same, I think it's in the same category as like John McCain having a good take on torture, right? Where it's like, yeah, right. I mean, they live right there. Of course, they don't want it destroyed.
Yeah.
But everybody's okay with, you know, poisoning the Gulf or, you know, the stuff that the Koch Industries was guilty of, having like fucking pipelines full of holes running under towns that then explode.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is actually like the number, it's like the number one thing that gets people on board with environmental regulation is like having something happen in their community where they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem fair. Same with Pennsylvania. Like people were really into fracking until it became like, wait, so if my neighbor has a lease and that lease ends up poisoning my well, I have no recourse. That's how it works. Yeah. Welcome to America. So now, I mean, they're all like, actually there's towns in Pennsylvania now that are, speaking of the rights based thing, that are invoking home rule and baking rights of nature into their charters. And these are like pretty conservative districts too. And the whole reason they're doing it have more local control over land use decisions.
Which is probably, I'm sure, a mixed bag to some degree.
Exactly. Cause you could imagine that going in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like school board level. Shenanigans.
Exactly. Right now it's like to get rid of fracking waste sites, but it could easily be we don't want any integrated schools here, for example.
I wonder, like, it's different in the US in the sense that like If I understand right, this case in Guyana went to the Supreme Court of Guyana, right? And is that right?
Several. So Melinda has now filed 7 different cases. Oh. She's very busy. And most of them have wound up at the High Court of Guyana, which is their Supreme Court. They just had a big verdict in another case that she filed, which is really interesting and potentially a huge game changer for oil drilling kind of around the globe. So in the environmental permit that Exxon had to get in order to start drilling offshore, it is laid out as a requirement of that permit that they have to have insurance policy from an independent insurer. So they can't self-insure, which is what oil companies usually do. They all have like their own insurance companies to insure their projects.
Yeah, it's great.
It's bizarre. But anyway, so it stipulates an independent insurance company and an unlimited parent company guarantee. That's really, really huge because basically in Guyana, as in most other places that they're operating outside of the US, they use like a local subsidiary that has very few assets. So they have SO Exploration and Production Guyana Limited, which is worth, you know, maybe $2 billion on paper. And so, you know, it's very handy for them to, you know, if something bad happens, then the subsidiary might get drained, but the parent company is protected. So it was actually written into their permit. They had to have this unlimited guarantee that they will cover whatever damages, which is important because in all of the environmental impact assessments, you know, Exxon's own environmental impact assessments, they're saying if there were a well blowout, which is like what happened with Deepwater, it would hit up to 14 different Caribbean islands plus various countries in like the northern coast of South America. So like a really big problem. And these are mostly countries that rely on tourism and for their economies. So the argument that Melinda made was, look, because the government has been lax in regulation, and now they haven't required this guarantee, you're opening up the citizens of this country to risk. Because if there's a spill like this, these countries could come to Guyana asking to be paid for damages, and we're not able to, and now you've like taken, you know, Exxon paying for it off the table. So anyway, the judge ruled in their favor and said, yeah, you're right, Exxon, you need to have this in writing within 30 days.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, it's incredible. I mean, that could really make, it would change the math considerably for this project, and I would say most other projects that they're working on. The EPA and Exxon were sort of like co-defendants in this case. The EPA is appealing. Also, like, just by the way, when your EPA is a co-defendant with an oil company, there's something very wrong.
Yeah, they might not be doing the P part.
Yeah, exactly. So they're appealing, and you know, there's a lot of government corruption and stuff going on. So we'll see what happens. But this judge, everyone was like, I was talking to a journalist that we've been working with there, and she was like, yes, everyone's very worried for his safety because like this was a big deal. And he really, I mean, in like the most prim and proper legalese possible, he repeatedly was like, EPA, why are you just being Exxon's bitch?
Yeah. It smells like bitch in here. What's going on?
it was like a real like whoa bomb of a ruling. Yeah. So yeah, that's a big win. The constitutional case is still they're still waiting for a ruling in that case, but that's also the Supreme Court that will be ruling on it because it's a constitutional argument. Yeah.
Talking of being people's bitch, it's probably time for us to hear from our advertisers.
Ah, yes. Great goal, James. Thank you. Yeah, perfect.
You laid it up and I just dunked it. It was good.
These advertisers, none of whom are in any way involved in the oil and gas industry.
Excellent.
We actually can't promise that, but, you know, pretend we can.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We're back, and continue to be blameless. all right, let's, should we move on to talking about, we chatted a little before this started, and one of the things that kind of is perennially on, or perpetually on our beat is different laws and rules and attempts around the world to crack down on the ability of people to protest and exercise dissent. Which you have some thoughts on, and also some information on kind of the way in which the oil and gas industry is tied to a lot of these legal kind of assaults.
Yeah.
They are very into cracking down on protests. And the thing that I think is really interesting right now is that you have the fossil fuel industry on the one hand working behind the scenes to, you know, the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, which is the lobbying group for like Coke Industries and a bunch of oil companies and all of that. They helped to write sample legislation in the wake of Standing Rock to pass around all of these Republican states that would increase the fines associated with protest and jail time. And they also did a lot to try to broaden it out to include organizations. So, you know, any organization helping to organize or plan protests can also be fined. In Kansas, they included a RICO charge in that. So, you know, they're trying to make protest organized crime.
Yeah.
But at the same time that they're doing all of that stuff, the number one argument that the fossil fuel industry is making in all of the climate cases against it in the US is a corporate free speech argument. And that is like, it's terrifying. So actually, and you mentioned Boulder before.
Yeah.
There's like 24-ish of these cases where towns or cities or states are saying, hey, it's really expensive for us to adapt to all of these climate risks, and it would be less expensive if the oil and gas companies hadn't kept everyone from doing anything about this for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Therefore, they should pay some portion of the cost. That's like the basic argument. And the oil companies for the last 3 or 4 years have been saying, you know, oh, you're trying to get around federal law by bringing these in state court, and these cases belong in federal court. The Supreme Court finally declined to hear that argument. The Department of Justice was like, they can stay in state court. It's fine. So that argument is sort of dead in the water, but they've already started with like their next attempt to get these cases to the Supreme Court. And it's this free speech argument that they've been making, which basically says, look, anything we've ever said about climate change was in the interest of shaping policy. That makes it political speech, or in like legal words, petitioning speech, and therefore protected by the First Amendment. Now they're saying in these cases, our First Amendment argument is foundational to our arguments. Therefore, these can't be in state court. State courts can't rule on like key First Amendment issues. So I'm like convinced that one of these cases is going to be the next Citizens United. And this Supreme Court, that's very, very scary. You know, they're talking about blurring the, like, they're basically saying like lying can be free, can be protected if it's in the interest of shaping policy a particular way.
It's fine if we're okay with lying if it's good for us.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, is you my attitude money, right? Whenever I'm pulled over by the police, but probably oil and gas companies should be held to a higher standard.
Exactly. So you can see why it's like bad, but like really for everything, very bad if that precedent gets set. So yeah, they're doing that at the same time that they're trying to limit individual free speech. And I think that parallel is, not accidental, but very, very gross and disturbing.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's interesting. Yeah, they very clearly see this Supreme Court as like the one to go for, right? Not that it's going anywhere anytime soon, I guess. Didn't Amy Coney Barrett like dad... Wasn't her dad like a
worked for Shell?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, he worked for Shell for like 20 years or something.
He sure did.
Of course, because there's a class thing happening.
And she never recuses herself on any of these cases ever. Yeah. Also, Alito, I think it's Alito, has stock in ConocoPhillips.
Cool.
So that's cool. That's cool.
We'll probably find out that Clarence Thomas owns an oil rig.
Yeah, it was gifted to him by someone.
Yeah, a dude with a Nazi statue.
I think they have said out loud in multiple places that the whole push to criminalize protests was 100% a reaction to Standing Rock. Were very freaked out by that. I think they always have like an organized reaction to anything that Indigenous people are doing, period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's like that whole gross extra layer to it. And then actually elsewhere too, like in Canada, this, we're working with a reporter who's been looking into this in Canada for a while. His name's Jeff Dembicki, and he's found that, the oil and gas companies there like wrote down in strategies. I don't know why these guys write this stuff down all the time, but they do. they wrote down, we're going to make First Nations people the face of climate protests because that'll make it easy to vilify climate protests in the press.
Wow. Yeah. Fuck. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Yeah. That one's fully sent me.
So, and a very similar thing there too, where it's like increasing fines and jail time, and you know,
it's interesting how, it's like in the US anyway. Like, if you look at the bleeding edge of settler colonialism, it's nearly always fossil fuel extraction, right? Like, if like Oak Flat, the proposed extraction of lithium on tribal lands, like a lot of these the nexus of like protest and like colonialism will be these, I guess not lithium isn't a fossil fuel, but these extractive projects on tribal land.
Yes, which is why actually the rights of nature stuff is becoming really interesting in tribal court. So I don't know if you guys followed this, but like with the Line 3 protests, the tribe there, they actually filed a case against the Minnesota, I don't know, Department of Public Works or something like that. And they were like, look, we have a, in their case, it's Monoman, the rights of Monoman. So Monoman is, oh God, it just went out of my mind entirely. It's wild rice. Sorry. Whew. Okay. Monoman is the indigenous word for wild rice. And they have rights for this rice written into their tribal laws. And so they're saying, look, based on our treaties, you are actually violating this law. And therefore we can take you to court in tribal court to stop this pipeline.
Oh, interesting.
It didn't work to stop line three, but actually the case is still making its way through the courts because the Minnesota DPW tried to say, look, tribal court has jurisdiction over us. And the state court was like, yeah, they do actually, because treaties exist.
Yeah. You know?
And so it's really interesting because now it's the same tribe that is potentially impacted by line five in Michigan. And they are looking at using the same argument and it could end up actually working there because there's now been enough time that, you know, it could make its way through the courts and set a precedent. But anyway, yeah, it's really, really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's that's really weirdly similar to the Kumeyaay people here in San Diego who are challenging the construction or quote unquote repair, which is not what's happening, of border wall. Right. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
That's what they always say about the pipelines too. It's always repairing an old pipeline, but you look at the plan and it's like that's a whole new ass pipeline in a different place than it was before.
Repairing a 3-foot. Fence with a 30-foot steel barrier, but yeah, it cuts directly through burial grounds here, and they're repairing it by destroying the burial grounds, which again they've opposed with mixed results, I guess. But it's I guess if folks are listening and they're interested, there are a lot of places where they can help those struggles, like different ways to do that, but that might be more effective here than going to the Supreme Court, given our Supreme Court's composition, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's why, with the tribal court stuff, I think will be interesting to watch in the next couple of years to see if they're able to do anything. But, you know, tribal sovereignty is all under attack by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah. So. The likelihood of this resulting in, like, indigenous nations getting ever more fucked by the US is equally high as the likelihood of ever having success, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I got really far afield there.
No.
The counter protest stuff is very, very, very much being driven by oil and gas. And there's, it just keeps going too. I mean, every year there's like, you know, multiple more of these laws being proposed and passed. I think we're at 28 now have passed them. 14 or 15 have actually implemented them. And yeah, it's not great.
No.
I also think, like, you know, you're seeing the expansion of the whole eco-terrorist thing really, like, come back with a vengeance too. I feel like that was something that happened in like early post 9/11 days and is now happening again, where it's like, I don't know, let's expand the definition of terrorism to include environmental activists. And then we can, you know, go after them with those charges too.
Yeah,
that happened in Cop City too, right? Weren't they using?
Yes.
Yes. They are stuff? In the process of still doing that. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Amy, this is all really important, despite being
super fun at depressing. Parties. I'm so fun.
No. This is a real meeting of the people who are fun at parties. Sit down and do you know that dissent has been criminalized in the United Kingdom?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess I'll have a Manhattan. Like, what do you want?
The last party Robert and I attended together, we saw a car bomb happen. So At least that.
We did see a car bomb happen.
Yeah.
God. Yeah,
bring positive vibes.
It was just a demonstrative car bomb, you know?
Not a kill people car bomb.
No. Burmese car bomb, sadly.
No. If it was an Irish car bomb, it would have gotten more people. that's a little bit of IRA humor for the audience. Okay, we should probably call it before I get us in trouble.
I'm making the neck slash motion.
Yeah. All right. Well, Amy Westervelt, thank you so much for coming on today, and thank you for continuing to put out a podcast that can, at least if people listen, keep them very updated on some of the most important climate related news going on today and some of the real like fuckery being carried out by the oil and gas industry. Again, the podcast is Drilled. Season 8 right now is about Exxon in Guyana. Amy, do you have anything else you wanted to say before we roll out?
No, that's it. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Amy. Really appreciate it. And, this has been Robert and James. We should probably do something on the Thames at some point, James. It'll rhyme. I know it's not pronounced that way. I know. This was just me.
Let's do it anyway.
We could call it Robert and Jim's on the Thames. You know? There we go.
Absolutely not.
All right. Podcast is over.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.